This is the State of Things, broadcasting live from the Triad Stage in Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. City officials in Greensboro are under attack for passing an ordinance that critics say criminalizes poverty. The ordinance places restrictions on the way people can ask for money on the streets. The public debate over panhandling in Greensboro has been going on since April. That's when the city council overturned a controversial ordinance that would have required people to get background checks and licenses before they could ask people for money. The city council approved a new ordinance in August. Nancy Vaughn is the mayor of Greensboro, and she joins us now on the State of Things. Welcome, Mayor Vaughn. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Also joining us is Marcus Hyde. He is an organizer with Homeless Union of Greensboro. Thank you, Marcus. Welcome.
Thank you.
I want to talk about this panhandling question, but first, Mayor Vaughn, let's talk about the Gen X and the water supply in Greensboro. What is the mayor and the city council doing at this point?
I think Carrie did a great job of explaining what the issue is, and I'm proud of the steps that the city staff has done. They've been extremely proactive and transparent of the issues that we've had in our water supply. I think they're really leading the state when it comes to studying this problem, and when we noticed that one of our plants had a spike, we took it immediately offline and started pumping out of one of our other water treatment plants. We are looking at, Carrie said, at different types of water treatment, and we're willing to invest quite a bit of money to correct this problem. I believe in our water supply. I drink about 96 ounces of tap water a day. So we are going to get this right.
All right. Let's talk now about the panhandling, this question about regulating people on the streets who are soliciting for money. When did this story actually begin and come to the city council's attention?
You know, I do want to give Marcus a lot of credit for this. He really brought this attention to us maybe in January or February of this year, and he came to city council and said that the laws had changed and that according to the Supreme Court, we could no longer have permits and that we should review our ordinances. And we did away with the permitting almost immediately. And we looked at the ordinance that we had on the books, which was about 4 pages long at that point. And it was pretty onerous with the restrictions. And at that point, we went from about a 4-page ordinance down to one that had about 7 bullet points. We did try to shrink it down. And so there was a temporary ordinance, but that ordinance was still in dispute. And unfortunately, the one we've recently adopted, I assume, is still somewhat in dispute. But we've worked on it, I believe, in good faith over the last few months. But it was Marcus who brought it to our attention over the winter, and it had been a work in progress since then.
All right, well, where we are now, and as far as this ordinance has progressed, how do you feel about it, Marcus, the one that's on the books now?
Yeah. The new ordinance is much different than panhandling ordinances or solicitation ordinances that are passed in other communities around the country. But if, in effect, the majority of the people being arrested under the new ordinance are homeless folks, are black folks, are poor people, then I think it's problematic.
Well, talk about the structure of this new ordinance. What's at stake here? Is there a need for an ordinance? I mean, it seems to me there are laws on the book that protect people from violence. So what's the need for this particular ordinance? How did that come to the attention of the council? Mayor Vaughn?
Well, we do believe there is a need for the ordinance, and it does not restrict free speech in any way, shape, or form. It allows people to ask for money. It allows people to, you know, fly a sign. Solicitation takes on many different forms. It's not just panhandling. It could be, would you sign my petition? Would you vote for my candidate? Have you been saved by Jesus? There are different types of solicitation. But there, you know, there comes a point where we have found, not only in downtown, this is not a downtown ordinance, we have gotten complaints throughout our city where once a person says no, that it begins to go further than that, that people have, you know, that they are grabbed, that as they go to get into cars, that people continue that conversation, and that it goes from solicitation to harassment.
Marcus, does that kind of, if that kind of activity is going on, does the city have not the right and the authority to regulate that sort of thing?
Well, I think if there's safety concerns, the Constitution, the way free speech works in this country is you can only limit free speech. You can only limit speech when there's a compelling government interest, a safety concern, and you have to limit the least amount of speech possible. And the fact is that if the Klan came to town today, they could say all sorts of offensive things that some people could deem as harassment, right? But we're setting a different standard when it comes to folks who are on the streets, and that's obviously who this is targeted towards. That's been the discussion the entire time. And so to set a different standard, that's separate but equal type of thinking. And
let's talk about the legality of this for just a moment, and sure. Then we'll get into the public policy questions it also raises. But I'd like to bring a legal expert into the conversation now. Sarah Sternberg Green is an associate professor of law at Duke University. Sarah, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is not the only city, obviously, that has an ordinance like this. And when Marcus came to the city council here, he was talking about other ordinances in other cities that had been struck down already. So give us the scope of this sort of thing and put this ordinance in context nationally.
Great. Well, it is true that there was a Supreme Court case in 2015, Reed versus Town of Gilbert, and it had nothing to do with panhandling. It actually had to do with where religious service signs could be displayed. But the issue, what happened in that case that really changed things and then prompted a lot of lawsuits against these ordinances, is that it clarified how lower courts should go about determining whether there is a restriction on protected speech and whether the speech is what's called either those restrictions are either content-based or content-neutral. And what it found was that even if there's no intention for the purpose and justification for the law are not content-based or other reasons like public safety, if the law is content-based on its face, if it is content-based, then it's subject to strict scrutiny, which is incredibly hard to overcome, and there is a presumption that it's unconstitutional.
Sarah, let me ask you this. When you say content-based, where does panhandling, is that the content? In other words, if I ask for money, then that's the content of the speech, and that's when you have to be really refined? Is that what you're saying?
So generally a law is content-based if it regulates a particular viewpoint or speech made for a particular purpose. And what courts have said in the case of anti-panhandling laws is that they are content-based restrictions on speech, because when people are experiencing poverty and asking for help, they're implicitly and explicitly conveying conditions of poverty, homelessness, a lack of access to medical care, those kinds of things. And thus, attempts to regulate this message restrain that individual's ability to express the conditions of poverty, the homeless crisis in general. So that's how courts rationalize and say that these kinds of restrictions are content-based.
Are there other, I'm wondering about the law and how it affects and comes to bear on these other questions of safety. For instance, if you grab someone on the street, I don't know, but I'm assuming there's a law against that already, right? And that might be simple assault, but you would tell me, Sarah. Or if I were to follow someone, threatening behavior, I would think is already covered under other laws. Am I right about that? Or do we need, are there particular kinds of behaviors around this soliciting that needs to be regulated specifically that is outside of the code that's already written?
Well, these laws vary by state and by locality in terms of exact laws on what happens when you harass. But in general, there are laws that are much more general. And what the Supreme Court wants you to do is have the least restrictive measure possible that protect people against, of course, assault, against all sorts of other other actions. But there is a blurry line. And one of the things I noticed the ordinance actually says is that there are, in certain circumstances, there are not laws, at least that the city council felt protected people who were being approached by panhandlers. But the question would be, should these laws be specific to solicitation? Are there other ways to do this? So it's a little bit murky in terms of whether these should be done through this type of ordinance, through something more general. But yes, in general, if something is criminal or it's harassment, we have other laws to protect people.
Marcus, what are you hearing from the people who you're advocating for, largely a homeless population, but others who feel the need to ask for money? What's their sense of what these laws mean? I mean, are they feeling the impact? Are there many arrests? And what are you hearing from people about the ordinance?
So under the new law, we don't know yet. We know of at least one arrest, and not surprisingly, it was a homeless black man who's throughout history, though, people have a history of being treated differently by the police, specifically in Greensboro. If they're people of color, if they're homeless, if they have mental illnesses, yada, yada. And finally, we're at a place in society where we can actually start to name the over-policing in our communities, the barbecue Beckys, the permit Patties, that sometimes addressing an uncomfortable situation with the police is not the right response. And for a lot of people, that's a dangerous response. And so folks are feeling like, yeah, they figured out a new version of the same thing. I'm being harassed for my physical body being in public space.
Mayor Vaughn, what about that? What about the perception that this creates that Marcus just outlined?
Well, first, we have committed to review the statistics on this ordinance in 6 months to see how it's being enforced and if, in fact, it is being forced in an inequitable way. If you read the ordinance, it is not focused at panhandling. It is a broad solicitation ordinance. It does not affect free speech at all. Free speech is... This is not a content-based ordinance in any way, shape, or form. So we believe that it passes that test, and that we believe as people understand that, they will feel more comfortable. When we look at the statistics that the police, when police respond to calls, that they were called out 722 times in the prior year, they had only issued 22 tickets. They are not out there to criminalize poverty. What they try to do is find a way to defuse the situation or to move people on. So, you know, that is not the way that they want to resolve this. There are penalties, obviously, in this ordinance, but they're actually lower level penalties than if they were to charge somebody with assault for grabbing someone. So I think this was a very well thought out ordinance.
But there's another question. If this is content based, the implicit
content. It is
content,
not content based.
Well, I guess that there may be a court challenge to this, right? So we may, is there?
So the old law was, we told the council if they passed it, they would get sued by the ACLU, by the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty. They passed it anyway, challenged us to a lawsuit. Some of the council members said explicitly. Then they changed it to this new law. The lawyers are still saying, hey, we need time to review this. We're going to watch this very closely. We haven't said this is okay. So it's an open question. And by the way, the old lawsuit is still ongoing.
And when there is content, the implicit content is that this is an expression of poverty somehow. And so that leads to the larger question, which is, if we're addressing the question of people on our streets asking for money, should we address the larger questions of homelessness, wealth disparity, education?
We absolutely should, but that's not what the ordinance does. You know, that is what we have to look at affordable housing and economic development. And we are addressing those issues, but that's not what the that's not what this ordinance does.
Sarah Sternberg Green, talk about the penalties when they are imposed, because that compounds the problems for people in this condition, right?
Right. So one of the things that the mayor said, which I agree with, is that, of course, a level 3 misdemeanor $50 charge is better than an assault charge. But one of the things that we're just starting to understand through research is that even misdemeanor charges have collateral consequences that are really extensive. It's not just the $50 fine. There there are also court fees associated with being charged with a misdemeanor, and it shows up on your criminal record. So you have someone who's already having to solicit money, ask for help because of their circumstance, and if they're subject to that fine, and what was said about how the police are enforcing this is hopeful, but as we know, it doesn't always happen that way. You then have that on your record, so it's harder to get a job. It's harder to get housing because you have a criminal record. A lot of landlords won't take you. Employers just put you in the no hire pile. And then it's really a cycle of poverty, because when you can't get those things, then you're more likely to continue soliciting because you don't have these other ways of lifting yourself out of poverty. And there's a lot of research to show that these fines, the $50 fine, the court fees, I mean, in North Carolina over the last 20 years, state court fees have gone up by 400%. And so people are actually being put in jail, not for the misdemeanor they committed, but because they're not paying these fines and fees. And then when they're in jail, they might lose any housing they have, those kinds of things. So there's a whole cycle and problem when we criminalize poverty, although again, it does depend how we're enforcing these things and what other programs the city has in place.
As you look at...
Can I say?
Yeah, sure.
So this... You know, this is not an anti-solicitation ordinance, but it does deal with harassing behavior. So for the person who is just soliciting and asking for money, there are no penalties. For people who have to go out and solicit and exercise their free speech, they can do that all day long.
Of course. The question, and you said that you're studying this, is how these are actually applied and what, how do we define harassing when people, one of the things some courts have said is that what you, with panhandling, we might define harassing one way, but then when someone is trying to get you to sign a petition, we might define it a different way. And police officers and many people are subject to kind of those differences because we do have implicit biases against homeless people, against people who appear poor, people who are ethnic and racial minorities. And so that's part of the concern. And on the books, it does look like it's just preventing harassment, but courts, even with aggressive panhandling, after this case, other cities have come out with aggressive panhandling ordinances, and yours is a little different because it doesn't just address panhandling, but courts have said, even in those cases, we're looking at this as not content neutral and thus subject to strict scrutiny.
Marcus, I have very little time left, but I wonder if you'd be satisfied with the sort of the research done afterward and looking at actually how this law is administered.
So before this ordinance was passed, we asked the city, if you're not trying to target homeless people, we have a history of the police targeting homeless people in this community, harassing them, hurting them. So pass some sort of police protocol similar to Duluth, Minnesota. They did this in 2016. They worked with the business community to say, this is a false dichotomy. We don't need to choose between safety and civil rights. We can have both. We can have a community where homeless people's rights are respected and where people feel safe walking downtown. We've asked the city to pass a police protocol, and we've heard mum about it.
Well, very briefly, even more briefly, but Mayor Vaughn, what about that? The idea of a police protocol to go with it?
We agreed to work with greater police training. We, at this point, are not entertaining a homeless bill of rights.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for being on the program. Nancy Vaughn is the mayor of Greensboro. Sarah Sternberg Green is an associate professor of law at Duke. Marcus Hyde, an organizer with Homeless Union of Greensboro. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just ahead, a ghost, a little girl, and a kitten take a voyage across Lake Michigan. Lee Zacharias is here to talk about her novel. But first, Titus Gant on sax and vocals. He's got a new album coming out named One. He's going to play us out of this segment. Stay with us on The State of Things.
There is one God.